Welcome in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7 a.m. Wednesday, May 31st, right here on Jocks 94.5. A lot to get to today. We've got SEC spring meetings happening down in Destin. A lot of news coming from that. A lot of feedback coming from that. A lot of commentary that we will let you hear and then respond to. Begin to dive into. There are some television scheduling news around college football that continues to leak out. Some expansion news that's out there that potentially could be going down. We'll talk about all of it today. Ivan Maizel is going to join us at 7:20 this morning down from Destin, give us an idea of where he thinks some things are heading. We'll talk to Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball at 8:20. Begin to take a look at some of these regionals coming up this weekend. Alabama and Auburn both hosting, obviously. SEC ties a record, sets a record for teams in and teams hosting. Half the teams in the field going to host, or half the host sites belong to SEC teams. And then Skylar Mee, Troy Head baseball coach, going to join us at 9 o'clock today. He will be competing in that Tuscaloosa regional. So we got a lot going on, a lot to get to. And it was a busy day down in Destin yesterday, GMAC. A lot of noise being made, a lot of discussion about scheduling, a lot of coaches that seem to have their opinion, but also kind of seem to be moving on from it. Just as, hey, it's going to be what it's going to be. And, you know, we'll play it this way, we'll play it that way. This is why I might like it, why I might not like it. But I didn't feel like there was a coach that really went down there trying to steer this thing one way or the other, regardless of how they felt about it.
Well, I don't think they want to be left out twisting in the wind. Well, I went for this, and then all of a sudden the opposite happens. Ultimately, the coaches don't have any say. I mean, the only one that I think really, well, maybe two now, I think Nick Saban and I think Kirby Smart has probably earned the right to push their president in a certain direction. That's probably it, though. The rest of the coaches, not like anyone's been crazy long tenures. It's not like any of these guys have, you know, won multiple championships or anything like that. Like, I think those are probably the only two guys that are going to be able to decide. Maybe Brian Kelly, but probably not even with him. He hasn't been there long enough. So, I don't know. I don't think either coach really has a lot of an opinion. And I was kind of disappointed how much straddling the fence I saw from pretty much everybody.
And for those that didn't straddle the fence, there were some new points that were brought up in different ways about kind of where the scheduling thing could end up going. Brian Kelly, for one, was asked about playing Alabama every year, and his response was, heck yeah, as in he would love to play Alabama every year, and said that's what he came to the SEC for, to be a part of games like that, said that they should probably stay, need to stay. So Brian Kelly, I thought, was somebody who had a pretty good picture of kind of how he thought things were going to go, how he wants things to go. And I would agree with you. I think he could probably bend the ear of Scott Woodward to an extent to say, this is why we need to go this direction and potentially be able to have him lean one way or the other. I think he has that voice. It's one of the reasons he was brought in. So, but he was pretty even keeled and talking about some of the different things. And he seemed to be very confident that a lot of things would get done and there wouldn't be a lot of back and forth in the rooms between the coaches, that they would be able to have civil conversations that would potentially lead to certain people finding their way and getting to discussions and getting to answers of some of these problems that they have.
Yeah. One thing that I found really interesting, I hadn't thought a lot about, for instance, there's a time in 2027, I believe Bama has West Virginia and Ohio State in the non-conference.
Yeah.
2 weeks apart, one September 4th, that's West Virginia, Ohio State, September 18th in Columbus. Then you think about a 9-game conference schedule. In addition to that, might become a little bit more challenging. And that's when I started to kind of warm up to the idea, well, some of the, I really want to see West Virginia and Ohio State. You know, I really want to see that. I mean, don't get me wrong, SEC schedule is SEC schedule. It'd be great, but I'm not sure Nick Saban or anyone associated with the Crimson Tide wants to see 11 Power 5 games on the schedule. That seems like an aggressive. By the way, not just 11 Power 5s. How about 9 SEC and Ohio State? By itself is all you really would need. And West Virginia's a perennial bowl team. So, and we're talking about some legit competition. It's not like you're playing Stanford or, you know, Cal or Wake Forest or whoever. No, I'm not using Wake Forest in the same light. That's not fair. Virginia. It's not like you're playing those teams. You're playing real teams. So I think that there is concern about the contractual obligations that they've made way down the road. But dude, games are scheduled through 2034.
That's ways out.
I mean, what are we going to do? Have an 8-game schedule permanently because we have too many non-conference games scheduled 10 years in advance? That's absurd.
No, and it's interesting how this has gone different ways. Like, I don't know if anybody has kind of thought about this. And those who say you have to go to 9 and 9 has to be the way. I would rather see it at 9 as far as 9 conference games for the SEC for a lot of different reasons. And there are things that would come with that I don't think I would enjoy as much or that I would miss. I think that's also a very real portion of where we're going to get to. But as the playoff is concerned, and there are some comments from some certain coaches that I want to get to later in the show that will sort of circulate around this. It doesn't always work out that way. It isn't always best for everyone to just say, hey, we're gonna do more and we're gonna puff our chests out and say just more conference games is always the best. Because wasn't there a point in time not long ago when the Pac-12 climbed up on top of that mountain and began to yell at everyone down below them that we play an extra conference game and we only play Power 5 opponents in the non-conference, and started pointing their fingers at the rest of college football, and we are the big bad Pac-12, and we play the toughest opponents, and we're not playing FCS teams anymore, and we're not playing all these other, you know, non-group of 5 teams or Power 5, whatever it was, and that it didn't go so great for them. So some leagues have tried it, and it hasn't necessarily worked out for them. Now, we believe that the SEC is in a very different place than the Pac-12 was then. However, it's not just a gimme that, oh, this is all of a sudden going to be best for everybody.
No, it's not a gimme, but there's one reason why I want the 9-game conference schedule. It has nothing to do with parity. And by the way, you listened to Scott Strickland yesterday on his visit with Paul. Just about all he talked about was, well, you know, the playoff. That's why we want to do this. As if they're going to get more teams in. If they have an 8-game conference schedule, and the team goes 10-2, 7-1 in the conference, they're going to be more likely to get them in than if a team goes 9-3, 7-2 in the conference. And that, you know, that makes sense to me. That's their assessment. I think he's probably right, because if you get a 10-2 team from the Pac-12, they're probably going to get in over a 9-3 team from the SEC that went 7-2 in the league. So, but the 10-2 SEC team that went 7-1 in the league will definitely get in over the 10-2 Pac-12 who went 7-2 in their league, or whatever the circumstances may be. So I understand why they're doing it, but the only reason why I support the 9-game conference schedule is the fact that I want to preserve rivalries. That's it. That's all I care about. I don't care about anything else about it. Do I prefer to have no FCS? Yes, but we can have that rule without getting rid of the current 8-game schedule.
You can do that if you wanted
to. Yeah, that's not a big deal. I don't want to see FCS teams. No disrespect. I just don't want to see it. 38-point spreads do nothing for me. I don't care.
What about 39.5?
Yeah, then not a lot.
Okay, that's where Auburn is.
Perfect.
Heading into week one.
There we go.
Exactly. No, it doesn't do anything for me. Even lower-level group of 5 teams don't do anything for me. Like, if you want to play group 5, you play the American. But I just want to preserve rivalries, man. The idea that Tennessee-Bama could go away really irritates me. The idea that LSU-Bama, arguably the most important matchup in college football for the last 20 years, could go away. Between the two, you have 9 national championships and 14 national championship game bursts between LSU and Alabama since 2003.
I believe that's right.
So, and you're telling me that we want to get rid of that game, or we won't play it every year? That's not good for the league. I don't care what anyone says.
It's not great. And, you know, did anything sway your opinion that you heard from coaches yesterday from SEC spring meetings? Tweet in at Mac and Cube. You can also be a part of the show on the Bud Light Hotline, 800-239-9569. Were you surprised that NIL took off as much as it did yesterday? And there took off to the point where there are a lot of folks that were big mad about what the coaches were actually saying about it. Somewhat disgusted, disappointed in commentary around, you know, their disappointment as to where NIL is right now, where NIL is going, what we're going to need to do with NIL down the road. There are a lot of people that just don't understand how coaches can continue to say this. And I think it becomes an immediate money comparison for a lot of people as, how can you say this about that when you make this? And sometimes it's not that simple. It just isn't. But that's where people are going to take it because they know what these coaches' salaries are. Were you surprised that that was as big of a part of the conversation yesterday in Destin as it was?
No, because what the coaches are currently just getting done dealing with. They had players on the road. They've been recruiting. The head coaches have not. But the assistant coaches have been recruiting for the last month and are still in the process of recruiting because the portal is still open, even though some of the talent that's currently in the portal might not be the talent that you want. But I do believe that NIL is at the front of every coach's mind. It's exhausting. It's exhausting, and it's definitely having an impact on the coach's quality of life for sure.
I don't think there's any doubt.
So, I mean, there's no doubt about it having a huge impact, so I'm not surprised that it was a big part of the discussion.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot with it yesterday, and you know, Eli Drinkwitz was at the forefront of a big portion of that, just kind of discussing you know where he thought NIL was going. He makes comments about his brother-in-law, who's a pediatrician that saves lives. He said, and we kind of do it cavalier. We think that there's not going to be any side effects. There's not going to be issues. There's information out there. There's bad actors out there always trying to make a dollar. They're involved in running around campuses trying to gather information. He said, I think gambling is going to become one of the key issues that we face in our locker rooms. The NFL's faced it more high profile than I've seen in the last 15 years in recent years, so I think it's more prevalent because there's more money involved, and everybody's looking for a quick way to make a dollar. I've been known to play blackjack myself. It's a tough deal. Like I said, these young men are getting a lot of money. And other than trying to hand out advice and provide some parameters, we talk about it in recruiting. You recruit your own problems. With this NIL situation, we've created our own problems in college sports. Now, a lot of people just latched on to the commentary about his brother-in-law being a pediatrician who saves lives, making more than some of his players. That's where people immediately point to you know, kind of what he does as far as what he makes and his salary being a coach that makes money, and a lot of people would then go off these kids. But I do think that there was a bigger discussion that he was trying to have there and just kind of how the money is leading things. Not necessarily the fact that kids are making the most of their opportunity, but just that the money is pointing the direction of where a lot of things in college sports are going, and it might not be the right direction. That's what I thought Eli Drinkwitz was trying to say when you went past just one sentence of what he had to say yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, if you really want, I don't think his intentions were bad, but it's not going to, you can't talk about it. I'm sorry, you just can't. Not when you're making $6 million a year going 6-6. You just can't. And I like Eli. I don't have any personal issues or qualms towards him. Like, you can't. You're not going to win that battle because everyone that you're preaching to that's in the media is making very normal money. So there's already anger towards the coaches coming from the media pool that really started to kind of fish this up. And I don't blame them. I think it sounds like you're kind of operating in a little bit of an echo chamber, and I don't think that's a smart move. You're not going to win going toe-to-toe with NIL. You're just not. Because there's too many people that support the players making a bunch of money and support the free market that the players are currently living in. You're not going to win. So I don't think it was a very smart move by Eli. I think his quote was a little bit taken out of context. But I also think at the same time, like, he created his own problem.
Sure. He said, I know that in my opinion right now, we have a broken system that needs some sort of guidance. We've been criticized for our state law, which I think is unfair. We don't criticize other people for being innovative in what they try to design for offense or defense or how they run their schemes or try to create an opportunity for success. So why would we be criticized for creating an opportunity for success for us through our state law? So I don't believe that it's a fair criticism by anybody. And I think it's an unknown situation. Until there's some sort of crisis, I would assume to create some streamlined standards, I don't know that there'll be a change. Why would there be a change? Because it is working for some people. And there are some people that are going to look at it and say, this collective or this distribution of funds, whatever that is, it's getting us better players. It's helping us win more games. Now, some folks it's not really working for. And they're not able to go out and just automatically win more games because of what they have. Sutton is in College Station, wants to talk SEC spring meetings. You're on the Bud Light Hotline. Sutton, welcome in.
Hey, guys. So much enjoy your show and y'all's perspective. My question to you is really, you know, coming out of baseball and who's in and who's out of the regionals. You know, you have the use of strength of schedule, whether some people like the measurement or not, but you have that use. And I think it's probably the reason why Kentucky got a host spot. I don't understand. We're so focused on the 8 versus 9 game schedule. I think the real question is, where is the push to have strength of schedule measurement, whether it be the old BCS way or whatever it means, but that there's a push because we're soon coming up on who's getting into the football playoffs with a lot more teams. And I think it's, if you look back just as early as 2020, when, you know, A&M played all SEC games and you had Notre Dame only playing 6 games, but because they did not have the loss to the eventual national champion, they got Notre Dame got in. And A&M
Notre Dame did not play 6 games. In 2020, they were in the ACC. Remember, they
won the ACC.
They didn't win it. They won the regular season ACC, well, and then they lost to Clemson in the rematch, if you will.
Okay. So what I'm saying is going back on the whole focus of strength of schedule, and whether it's 2 teams in the old BCS days or 4 teams like we've had or 12 teams, there's always going to be a cutoff. And I think the strength of schedule, when you have 2 behemoth conferences and then you have a definite C-class conference in the rest of the conferences, I think there has to be some measurement that incentivizes good teams playing good teams. And so you'll have a 3-loss team into the playoff. And as well, just like we've just had with college baseball. SEC college baseball is the best in the nation, and they've been awarded the best in the nation with the number of seeds that we have hosting.
But here's the problem, Sutton. People don't care about baseball. Like, nobody in the Big Ten's losing their mind about 8 teams hosting out of 16. And nobody's losing their mind. Nobody cares. It's not personal. It's just there's not the rabidity of the fan base that's going to lose their mind. There is major SEC fatigue, and it's not exclusive to fans. I think people that have SEC fatigue are blind in some ways because they need to acknowledge the quality of the play on the field. I'm not saying that they're always better, but I'm saying more often than not, SEC is the most competitive league. It's really, really good. It's really, really good players. And if you want to deny that and say, well, we as Ohio State fans, we can go with anybody. Fine, I'll listen to your argument. Michigan, I'll listen to yours. But I won't listen to Northwestern's, and I really won't listen to Indiana's, and I really won't listen to Maryland's. I really don't want to listen to Iowa's. I don't think that would end well either. And you could tell me, oh, well, they play in bowl games all the time. We're really competitive. Great, nobody wants to be there. So I don't think...
Like, I go back to what I said about the Pac-12, Greg, and... That it wasn't just the Pac-12. There were other conferences that said you will play at least 1 Power 5 in the non-conference.
Right.
This is cyclical.
SEC did that.
This has already happened. And it already happened when we went to 4 and everybody said, well, you better bolster up your schedule. You better bolster up your route. You better bolster up teams you're playing. And then people started realizing, whoa, hold on a second. We might have a better shot if we're just undefeated. And then everybody started backing back off again.
But there was an example with Baylor where they scheduled 3 powder puffs in 2014 and didn't get in the playoff. Ohio State jumped them. I think Ohio State would have jumped them anyways because they played the Powder Puffs. And Ohio State lost to Virginia Tech, who was an out-of-conference opponent.
Yep, and I think now people are saying, well, we don't know exactly how this 12-team thing is going to work out. We would rather take our chances with more wins on a lighter schedule because we know, number one, we're keeping our job. Number two, it's probably going to still help in recruiting. And number three, there are going to be bonuses tied to that I'm going to get. So let's take our chances with that. We're not going to know until we get down the road and see, oh, that team had the 121st ranked schedule in college football. They didn't get in. Why? Well, because of that. And there's also lack of clarity from the people who are deciding those teams get in, not standing up and saying, schedule wasn't good enough. Sorry, you didn't play anybody. There should be more of that. It should be very clear that that's the reason that certain teams get in, and that doesn't always happen.
And there's one more thing before we get to our read, but the other thing, I think people just take for granted how hard it is to schedule these games.
It's fair.
Like, I don't think people, like, you think Georgia, anyone, like, tell me this. You're a non-conference team in the Power Five. Man, I'm looking for someone to play. Who wants to play? Well, Georgia's over there. Hey, I'd love to play. No, I'm good. I don't think I want to get my teeth kicked in week two. How'd it work for Oregon this year when they played Georgia? Like, what was the perception of Oregon? They went away. They disappeared for 6 weeks until they got in a little bit of a win streak, and everyone's like, oh, man, wait, Oregon's good? No. Like, it's not as easy to schedule these out-of-conference games as people realize. So that's why I prefer the nine-game conference schedule, because those are at least established every year. And if you can give me a bonus Power 5 opponent, great, but you might not be able to get that. You might not be able to guarantee that under the circumstances. It's harder to schedule than people realize, I think.
Absolutely. It's not harder to find a home when you call Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group, because they're brokered by eXp Realty, and the Gusty Gulis Group has served more than 3,000 home buyers and sellers in the greater Birmingham area. Since 2012, the Gusty Gulis Group has been recognized both nationally and locally as greater Birmingham, Alabama's number one teams in homes sold. So any real estate needs that you have here in central Alabama, GMAC, we suggest you call Gusty Gulis and the Gusty Gulis Group.
Yeah, just check the reviews. Alicia, Evan, Glenda, they've all gone out of their way to tell everyone on Google just how tremendous their experience was with Gusty. Quote, it was a blessing to have them in my corner, thanks to all. End quote. That's from Glenda. Just Google Gusty Gulis Group, check their reviews. There's 800 five-star Google reviews, or you can go online, GustyGulisGroup.com. That's GustyGulisGroup.com and start packing.
Ivan Maisel of On3 Sports joins us next to talk SEC spring meetings on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next question, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Take a visit over to my friends at Royal Buick GMC. For a limited time right now, you can get rates as low as 0.9% APR. That's right, 0.9% Royal Buick GMC. Got what you need on one lot. If you need heavy hauling truck for your summer toys, you got to check out their huge selection of trucks. Sierra, Sierra HD, Denali, AT4. Need more room for the kids? Yukon, Yukon AT4, Yukon Denali. All right here close to home at the corner of I-65 and Highway 31 in Vestavia. Special financing rates is over 0.9%, will not be around for long, so move fast to Royal Buick GMC or shop online at royalbuickgmc.net. Rates only valid on certain models with approved credit through GM Financial. Certain restrictions do apply. See dealer for detail. Remember, for every ride, there's Royal. Ivan Maisel of On3 Sports joining us now on the Bud Light Hotline from SEC Spring Meetings down in Destin. Ivan, Greg and I were just discussing a moment ago. It felt as though that not many of the coaches took a strong stance one side or the other on scheduling, maybe just saying, hey, we think it should be this way, but you know what? It's going to be what it's going to be. Does that give you the indication that we will actually come to a conclusion by the end of these spring meetings on what the future scheduling model will be?
No. And first of all, let me correct you. I am standing in LaGuardia, so
apologies.
Trying to work my way down south. I don't think that gives an indication. You know, they don't have to make a decision this week. And, you know, this is a league that has never looked at a decision that, you know, they don't have. If they can wait, they're going to do it. You know, so I hope they make a decision. But, you know, traditionally they announce in August or September what the schedule will be next year. So, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they wait.
What do you think? Obviously, all of us won nine games. Most of us. Yes. I think Cole is more understanding of the eight game. I am a little less understanding. Cole's a politician. I want to just burn the world.
I don't want it.
I want to burn the world to the ground. I'm angry that we could lose LSU, Bama, could lose Auburn, Georgia, could lose Bama, Tennessee. Like, those rivalries going away really concerns me. So I want the 9 game.
Yeah.
What do you think? What do you think the reasons are beyond the scheduling issues that would lead you to go to the 8? Because to me, it just feels like the 9's such a slam dunk.
Well, you know, Greg, it's money. If ESPN does not, you know, come up with more money, then the incentive is still there, but it's not as strong. You know, and it's still there because, you know, every AD knows that, you know, pulling in Mercer and San Jose State and, you know, fill in the blank is that their constituents, their ticket buyers have had enough of that. But they've also got to, you know, build buildings and paint restrooms and do all that other stuff. So it's a money decision first, and it doesn't mean they won't do it. And there's a strong case to be made to go ahead and do it, and the money will follow.
Right.
But, you know, that's it certainly would be in so many ways a PR victory for the league. And whether they care about that or not, I guess we'll find out.
Ivan Maisel of On3 Sports joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, heading to Destin to be a part of spring meetings. What do you believe the voice of Texas and Oklahoma will be in the decisions that are made this week?
Well, they don't have a vote, but the voice is the perfect word. They are allowed to discuss. They will participate. Well, Greg Sankey explained it to me as straw polls, so they can vote until it counts. But you know, they will be heard, and I think it will be fascinating to see how they interact with everybody, because, you know, I talked to Joe Castiglione, who's been the AD at Oklahoma forever, last week, and he was genuinely excited and to see how Destin worked and to get with everybody. And I think, you know, these are two well-respected ADs, or two well-respected university presidents, But they can chime in to everything until they actually sit down to vote.
What do you think? And the coaches have any say in this? I think Nick Saban, Cole and I both think that Nick Saban basically tells everyone what to do in Tuscaloosa. I do think Kirby Smart has not gotten to that point. I might think Brian Kelly, because of how long he's been doing it, would have some say. But do you think it's beyond those three, is there any other coach that would have some say in whether or not we stick at 8 or if we go to 9?
No, not off the top of my head. I mean, you know, I'm sure. I mean, the president, AD, and head coach of Kentucky have been there forever, and I assume they will all be in lockstep. You know, and they're not enamored with 9, but. I don't know that Mark would change that vote either. You know, I think Nick is obviously the most powerful coach in the league and probably in the sport.
Ivan Maisel joining us on the Bud Light Hotline, talking SEC spring meetings. Scheduling one part of this, but it felt like NIL kind of stole the story yesterday and was a major topic of the day. A lot of this will be coaches just wanting to get their opinions out there, wanting people to obviously say, this is what we feel about it, this is how we feel about it, or I personally feel about it. Do you believe that the coaches actually can make something happen by voicing their opinions the way that they did yesterday, or is this just pontificating and expressing frustration with where we are right now at NIL?
It's all the above. Cole, I mean, if the coaches don't speak up, then nothing will change. I mean, they're the guys on the front lines. But, you know, anybody I ask, and I've gotten the same answer in the very long 2-year history of NIL. Anytime you ask somebody about the future, they say, yeah, we don't know yet. You know, give it time, 3 to 5 years. And 2 years in, they're still saying 3 to 5 years. I mean, these guys are Lewis and Clark trying to figure out, you know, where the Pacific Ocean is and whether they're going to fall off the end of the world. I mean, they all are. Nobody knows where this is going. And
It's, you know, everybody's trying to do the best they can, but there's, you know, the NCAA abdicated their role as the, you know, as the police. So there's no police. And this is what happens when you have no police.
Do you think there's any coaches that are ever going to make their way up to D.C. to lobby? Because, I mean, the ADs have, the commissioners have, the NCAA president has. I mean, at what point did the coaches need to get involved in the lobbying efforts of trying to get this thing dialed in?
Well, you know, if they don't do it in the next 6 weeks, it's not going to happen. And you know, because, you know, their lives, you know, turn over mid-July. So, and June's the only time most of them get off. So they're not going to do it in June, I guess, unless they had to. But I don't think things are in Washington have gotten to a point close enough where they would need a coach to try to move the needle. You know, there's bills out there, but nobody, there's, at least as far as I'm aware, there's no momentum behind any of them. But you make a great point. You know, if they don't get a big name coach up there soon, the coaches are going to be too busy to do it.
Ivan Maisel of On3 Sports joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Before I let you run, Ivan, I wanted to ask you quickly something about outside of the Southeastern Conference, and that is kind of what's going on with Brett Yormark in the Big 12 right now. There are indications that Colorado has gone maybe a step further with some of their discussions. Gonzaga is a team that seems to be on the list. What's next for that conference and for that conference commissioner, in your opinion?
Well, Brett Yormark thinks differently than the traditional college administrator, and that's been a great benefit to the Big 12. I mean, yeah, he got a TV deal done. He got them, they're promoted, they're sponsoring Playground Hoops in New York. I mean, he's trying to get their name out there in a way that is very non-traditional, and inviting a Gonzaga, talking, you know, luring Colorado, you know, talking to UConn, you know, why UConn would do it. I live in Connecticut, and, you know, UConn left the Big East once and it didn't go very well. Why they would do that again is mystifying. But anyway, you know, Brett Yormark wants a national footprint, and there's nothing preventing him from getting it except, you know, the ability of his salesmanship. And so far, his salesmanship's been pretty good.
Ivan, thank you for the time. I know you're in the airport. Never comfortable conversation there when everybody's walking around you and things are happening over the loudspeakers. We look forward to catching up with you again soon. No, that's not your fault. We appreciate the time today. And we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Call anytime. See you.
Ivan Maisel of the On3 Sports Network joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Ivan_Maisel, M-A-I-S-E-L. Find his work at On3 Sports. Just kind of interesting there, a couple of things that he said. He does believe that they can come to a conclusion on the scheduling, GMAC, but also says pretty simple, they don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to get there this week.
No. But I do think that this whole thing got messed up. It was supposed to be in 2025. That was when Oklahoma and Texas were coming in. So they felt like they had time. You know, they had time on their side. Nothing was going to change. So you'd stick with the status quo throughout 2024 and then figure it out in 2025 when basically you have a whole new league. That all adjusted when Texas and Oklahoma moved up their clock to join the league a year earlier. So now they're trying to rush to figure it out. Right. And that's not a comfortable situation for anybody. Nobody wants to make permanent decisions, long-lasting decisions. Look at legends and leaders in the Big Ten and what a disaster that was. It's an embarrassment. It really was. You don't want to mess this up because your credibility of your conference is on the line. So I understand that it's a little tricky situation, so that's why I wouldn't be surprised if they just did a one-year gap year, 8-game conference schedule for the first year and then figure it out the year after that. But their back's against the wall. They gotta go and they gotta figure it out and they gotta let these teams know what's gonna happen ASAP so they can schedule the remaining out of conference games and then obviously get everything situated at their own home ballparks.
All right, let's begin to hear from some of the coaches yesterday what they had to say. Before we go to that, let you know your HVAC system, one of your largest investments. This time of year, it's constantly being pushed to the extreme. Ensure your family's comfort with an affordable Trane system recognized as most trusted for 9 consecutive years. A Trane system will give you reliability and peace of mind day in, day out for years to come. Visit Trane.com to find a comfort specialist near you. When we come back, we'll begin to let you hear some coaches around the Southeastern Conference yesterday discussing scheduling, NIL, and where things are headed in the future of college football right after this on McElroy and Kubelik in the morning.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
All right, welcome back in. McElroy and Kubelik in the morning, 7:45 a.m. As we continue to roll along right here on Jocks 94.5, listen online, jocksfm.com. Apps in your app store, iPhone, Android. You can download that for free. Jackson State safety Shiloh Sanders finally announces his commitment to Colorado. A surprise to no one.
Huge shock.
Colorado also announces, GMAC, a $200,000 profit that they pull in off of their spring game, which... you might say, oh, it's not a lot of coin. It's not a lot of money. Colorado had never profited off of a spring game in the history of their football program.
They barely profit off the regular games.
Okay.
Whoa. What?
That's
it's just low-hanging fruit.
I feel like we're trying to give them credit for doing something a little different here.
But it's good for low-hanging fruit.
Good for that program, though, to be able to put something together that actually generates a little bit more revenue, and through some of the ticket sales, some of the concessions, $343,000 in ticket sales, $143,000 in concessions. After expenses, they took home around $200,000. They had never made money from that event before. So that's
a big move. No, in all seriousness, it's really good. All joking aside, we will give credit where credit is due. I think it's terrific. And it just goes to show you, man, if you build it, they will come. I mean, it really will if you invest in your program. And look, it might not work. Dion could crash and burn. There's no telling. But at least you're giving off the impression that you're trying to change. Yep. You're doing it a little different this time. You're trying to make moves. So I think it's great. And I'm rooting for him to have a good year. I really am. Just to encourage more teams to maybe take a chance, to take a risk and see what happens.
All right, we're going to roll back into the SEC meetings conversation. Before we do that, where should folks roll if they want to pick up a new vehicle?
Be up to Coleman, I-65, exit 310. It's Bill Smith Buick GMC. They are GMC's dealer of the year. 3 times running, I might add, which to me is just unbelievable. How do you win the national championship 3 consecutive years when there's 1,800 GMC dealers and to be number 1 3 straight years? Unreal. Well, what tell you what helps is being the largest GMC dealer in Alabama with Alabama's largest discounts. They also have the best customer service of any dealer around. That's why 75% of their business is repeat customers. It's because you have a better experience when you shop with Bill Smith. Go get yourself a new Sierra. That's what I'm driving. 2023 1500 crew cab 4x4 loaded with the SLT package and the sunroof. $69,500 is the list price, but they will discount it by $8,000 down to $61,500 plus 2.9% for 60 months. It's deals like that that keep you coming back, and it's with deals like that that keep you atop the business for 67 years. Go see Andy Cole and Jonathan Yeager. Take great care of you. They also have that huge used car superstore. Plenty of vehicles to fit any budget. They're the trusted used car company. So go see the GMC Dealer of the Year, the savings and customer service, well worth the drive up to I-65 at exit 310 at Coleman, or you can shop online, have delivered right to your driveway, BillSmithBuickGMC.com.
We've talked 8-9 conference games back and forth about as much as we can. We will hear a couple of coaches discuss it, but Kirby Smart had a little bit of a different take when asked about where he stood on 8 or 9 conference games.
I mean, I get it. The traditional rivalries, you have 3, you have 2, you have 1, you have this, you have that. I mean, you guys need something to write about bad when you start talking about this. It's just not that big a deal to me. Because you have to win your games to advance. you need to be in the SEC championship, possibly with an expanded playoff. That's a lot better topic for me. Is somebody going to get an advantage by not going to the SEC championship and making the playoff? That's a lot better topic to me than 8 or 9 games. I mean, I think you got to win your games. And now more than ever, it's going to be that way because it's not going to be divisions. But that's true for both.
So he brings up an interesting point here, G-Mac, and we have, you know, we've actually seen this in the league with a four-team playoff. That teams have either been on the brink in the discussion, not going, and have gotten in, not going, to the SEC championship game. And I think it's a fair topic for him to bring up because it's not one that a lot of people are focusing on, placing emphasis on. But I do think there's another side to it in that the rewards that most likely you're going to get for going and winning, probably going to be a number one seed. If they're not a number one seed, you're going to ensure some home games.
Right.
You know that. That's going to be a big part of it. So it's not that it's going to be for nothing or just, you know, some SEC championship game trophy or an extra ring that the kids get at the end of the year. There are definitely added benefits that come with it, but he would go on to say when the playoff is actually going to start once we move to 12, it's going to be right behind that SEC championship game. So if you were out of it and you're in the playoff, that's a lot of time to get healthy. That's a lot of time to begin to prepare. It's a lot of time to do a lot of things that other schools are going to be preparing for another game in what he described as the most physical game of the year. So you can see where the concerns are definitely real. I don't think that there's anybody who's going to strategically try to not make the SEC championship game so they can have an extra week off because your matchup's going to be more difficult. There's a better chance you're going to be playing on the road, things of that nature. But it is an interesting part of what he brings up when we do talk about scheduling moving forward.
Well, I do think it's something worth noting. Then again, there are benefits to winning the SEC championship. Like, okay, I understand. Hey, could you potentially benefit more from not participating? Sure, that's possible. We saw an example of that in 2017 when Alabama didn't win their conference championship. They went to the playoff and beat the team that did win their conference championship, in Georgia, in the second and 26 game. So it happens. I still think that's rare.
Then we saw it again where the team that won the conference championship game went and lost to the team that they lost to in the conference championship game, and that team won a national championship.
Right.
So that doesn't have as much to do with not being in it, but yeah, there are a lot of ways to spin it.
But you can't tell me right now, like, okay, Kirby Smart, good example, right? You win your conference championship game, you get a first-round bye. And potentially down the road, maybe a first round bye and a home playoff game.
Right.
Which, guess what? That's really, really valuable to know that I don't have to go play in Boise, Idaho.
That offsets it if you get the bye. I mean,
100%. The bye week is, it offsets it. And they're not, to me, I don't see them. I think they're going to make the automatic qualifiers 1 through 6. So if you win your conference, you get a home playoff game. Or if you win your conference and you're ranked 5 and 6 and you got to play first round, you get a home playoff game.
Would you like that?
Yeah, totally. There should be a reward for winning your conference.
I appreciate the reward, but I think, as you know, we've seen in the past, you're going to have your teams that are 8-win. I mean, we got a college baseball team that's in with like 17 wins in the tournament. So that those things are going to happen.
Right.
And people are going to get big mad about it when you have, you know, a 1-loss team or a 2-loss team that you caught fire the last month of the season that all of a sudden is not one of the top 6 seeds. People are going to get mad about it, but I would love that as a reward for what we're saying as, all right, the automatic bids when your conference get in. To me, I feel like it would be completely worthwhile, but there are going to be people who are mad at that. Tom,
people are always going to be mad.
For sure. That's what makes it great. You can debate it. Tom is on the Bud Light Hotline, wants to talk SEC meetings. Welcome in, Tom.
Hey, guys, thanks for the depth of analysis this morning. What Ivan Maisel said, and I think he's a very well-respected guy, am I right?
Yes, absolutely.
As y'all are, and maybe more regionally, I don't know how far y'all reach, but what Ivan Maisel said is incredibly important. And he said, since the NCAA abdicated their authority, what takes over? Well, chaos takes over. And y'all mentioned about coaches lobbying for this whole system that we're talking about. Well, I don't see them doing that, but what I do see is people that have their finger on the pulse for all aspects of what's going on, and it's people like you two. Ivan Maisel, you see the social side of it, you know the field side of it, you know the dynamics of the way a team operates and the conferences operate. While it may not be intriguing to y'all, but somebody that has an objective opinion like y'all do is important to keep the integrity and character of this game intact. And what great test we have this year with Deion Sanders going to Colorado. This is like a test culture dish that he's going to take every rule we've got and test it to the max. And it's going to be fun to see what happens in Colorado. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the 8-9 game, but that's not the big problem. The big problem is where we build a structure forward, and that's going to take leadership. And I could even see you guys, one of you guys, being a commissioner in 10 or 20 years, but I don't think you'll seek that because you really do more service where you are. Just interested. I'd love to get Ivan Maisel back after this discussion. Love the show. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll definitely have Ivan back. He is absolutely one of the best. And there were other comments that came out from a lot of different coaches. We will roll to their comments on NIL, what could happen, maybe where things will go a little bit later in the show. Greg does have that national voice. Mine does not resonate outside the state of Alabama. Other than that, we will keep things moving right
Pittsburgh.
Here. And that's a little bit, maybe some Columbia, South Carolina, with the amount of relatives and blood that is there. But other
Vestavia.
Than that, no
reach down there on the mountain.
No.
After my commentary on taped thigh pads, that has gone away. And
Decatur.
A little bit there.
Yes.
Just an ounce indicator. Yes.
Moving the needle on the
happens,
river.
Happened some there.
Let's ride.
Maybe a touchdown in Auburn, but most lives right here in Birmingham, and that's about it. All right, we'll be back with more from SEC meetings next.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.